we are met on a great battlefield. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the great task remaining before us. That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
All right. Welcome this morning. Can we have any veterans or military please just stand and be recognized this Memorial Day weekend? Please do that. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand, church. Yeah. Thank you so much for the sacrifice and service that you have given for our freedoms, and we want to remember that. So thank you so much for that this morning. I know it's probably hard for some of you to be standing, but thank you for doing that because it is worthy of that. Speaking of standing, today's also a special day. We have something called a graduation, I think, happening, right? Can we have the seniors that are in the room please come up here just very quickly? I know there's a couple in here at least. Yeah. We have five here this morning. Sean gave me a five. All right, there's three. Hey, we got four. There's five. There it is. All right, good. Okay, so just real quick, this is going to be your last pop quiz you're ever going to have in high school, I promise. I wanted to ask them just to come up to be recognized. You've seen their pictures, but today you get to hear their voice. I was just going to ask, here's the pop quiz. Where did you graduate from, and what are your plans like college or whatever for the future? It doesn't have to be some life, you know, testimony, but would you please share with us your name and all of those fun details?
Hi, I'm Lucas Goodrich. I'm graduating from Joseph Charter, and this fall I will be going to Oregon Tech and running on their cross-country teams, and that's what I'm doing.
Hi, my name is Joel Fry. I graduated from Enterprise High School, and I'll be moving down to Boise to go to JATC Electrical Training Center to get my journeyman's.
Hi, I'm Alicia Melville. I will be graduating from Enterprise High School, and this fall I will be going to Jackson Hole Bible College to get a one-year biblical studies certificate.
My name is Logan Teeters. I'm going to be also going to Boise and study at the JATC to get my journeyman license for electrician.
My name is Jace Fry. I'm graduating from Enterprise High School, and I'm going to Boise to attend Boise Bible College for worship arts and then on to plumbing.
All right, very good. Hey, you passed your test. Good job, guys. Yeah. Hey, before you head out, church, would you just pray with me? I want to send these young men and women off with prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for just having the privilege of getting to see these young lives blossom into the future. What a privilege it's been to be able to watch many of them be raised, and now to see them as adults being launched into the future is so exciting. I pray a special blessing on each of their life choices to the future, a blessing on college and tech school, a blessing on just this summer as they prepare to be going to college. And God, I pray that you would give them an uncommon wisdom, Lord, of this world, that you would be their rock, their center, as they are launched into a lot of the college scene and potential temptations and whatever else may come their way. God, I pray that you would be truly their foundation for the future. Thank you so much for giving ECC the privilege of helping be a pathway for them toward you, and I pray that they will continue on in that journey. Thank you so much for your love and grace in our lives, and I pray that over them that they would be able to experience that on new levels every day, every year, as they continue to grow into adulthood. We thank you for that, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. Thanks for enduring this. All right. Well, I want to welcome you into today. Today is really exciting. I'm not sure if I'm more excited or the boys for graduation, but we have a lot of exciting stuff going on. Not only is it Memorial Day weekend and the graduation season, but we also are ending our series in the Rock Solid series that we've been in, as well as just thinking about not just the end of the series, but it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you've been with us for any amount of time, you know we've been kind of marching through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse and taking it as it comes. And then next week, as you saw, we'll enter into a new series called The Wonder. But the way Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount is so good. And you might have noticed, or maybe just thought we had really uncomfortable chairs, a little rock on your seat. We're going to use that here in just a moment. So if you just thought maybe you can give yourself a little butt massage or something, I don't know, but whatever you need to do. But Jesus ends it with a great, or stone me with it. Yeah. One of our elders. Thank you, Kurt, for that. Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with something so practical. And he talks about two guys who had the same lessons from Jesus, the same building materials that Jesus would offer, and the same kind of experience, except one life seems to be successful, and the other life seems to be in calamity. And so Jesus is giving us this storyline, and I couldn't help but think about our graduates this morning, and thinking about here in just, I know Joseph is another week, so sorry, Lucas and Logan, for that, but at least Enterprise is launching today, and there's a little thing called a ceremony, and y'all look the same. Same hats, same gown, same tassels. And they're all on the left side, and pretty soon you're going to move them to the right side as this completion takes place. You've endured the same classes and the same teachers and the same tests, mostly at least. But the question is going to be on you, and really for all of us, is it isn't just whether you passed your classes, it's did you develop a foundation and ready for life or not? Are you going to take what you've learned and not just learn it, but then apply it to your life? And so today we celebrate. Today we're all excited about that. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year is when the tests of life begin to come. And so that's true for all of us, right? Whether you were in the military, and it's not about what you know how to survive, it's what you did in applying your knowledge and staying safe. It's the retirees. It's not just the idea of saving money. It's a matter of actually saving, right? No, not just knowing you need to save, but actually saving that money. College students in here, as you're back home for summer, it's not just what you know from the professor, it's how many times you crammed all night for that test, right? No, now we're getting off base. I'm sorry. But, we want to apply that knowledge. And Jesus, I think this morning, of all mornings, really calls us to make a decision. What are we going to build our foundation on? And so let's take a look. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. As I mentioned, we're ending the Sermon on the Mount, so we're beginning in verse 24, and we're going to get through verse 29 today. All right? So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You can read along on the screen with me. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse in a mighty crash." Now, I pause there to just reflect on this moment, because now Jesus has given the last illustration, the last story that he's going to give for his whole Sermon on the Mount. Hundreds of people are on this grassy hillside of the Sea of Galilee. They've been listening to Jesus for, I can imagine, basically in our context, it's from chapter 5, 6, and 7, right? That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's been this lengthy message. And Matthew, the author, who's listening to Jesus and recording this sermon, He now turns to the audience, and he records their response. Check this out. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. He taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. We're going to unpack a lot of this morning, but I want to give you kind of one big idea to hang this message on, and that is this, is that Jesus is telling us that in life, and you know, as in graduation and all the other moments in life that we have, what matters isn't the ritual. It isn't just the moving the tassel from one side to the other. It isn't just the gown and cap that we're in. It's not just the passing a class or two. But it's the substance behind it. It's what we've learned. It's what we've take with us, ultimately, that really matters. And that's really what Jesus is getting at here. You know, a lot of folks will say that, you know, God and church, there's a lot of rules and regulations and rituals to obey. And as long as I do that, then I'm good to go. But Jesus says, no. I want to take you into some deeper water. He's literally talking about flood water here, right? Beyond the rules, beyond the rituals, beyond the things that we kind of think we should or shouldn't do, to the foundation. Not to surface level, but to the substance that really matters. And so that's what we're going to be doing here as we dig into this. So in verse 24, Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching. So you might just, if you're new to the series or if you're new to, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, what even is that? Well, basically, you know, whoever listens to my teaching, the teaching is, you can go back and read chapter 5, 6, and 7, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And I was thinking, you know, what did he say then? Can you summarize it? Well, it's awfully hard to summarize, but you can go back and check it out. In fact, I was just kind of geeking out online for a minute, and I was actually recapping. We did this sermon, or his Sermon on the Mount, in I think 4 different series, 31 different sermons. If you just do the math, roughly 35 minutes each, that's over 18 hours of teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you want to know what Jesus taught, you know, hey, there's plenty of material. You can go back and check it out. And if you're like, man, I don't remember any of those sermons, I'm not sure why I still have a job, right? So we'll just put it like that. But you know, the point of this is that sooner or later, the storm's coming, right? Sooner or later, the rain's coming, the flood water's coming, and when they do, it's not a matter of how many sermons I preach, 31 sermons. It's not a matter of how many sermons you've heard. It's a matter of what we do with those sermons. It's a matter of what we do with God's Word and that Sermon on the Mount and what he's been teaching us and has been marinating the last several weeks and months. That's why I think he says anyone who not just listens to my teaching, but follows it is wise. Remember, both builders, okay, heard Jesus' teaching. Both builders were building a house that's representative of their lives, okay? Both experienced the same storms, right? The rain, the flood, the winds. But again, the outcome is very different. Why? See, this leads me to my first kind of takeaway point for us if you're taking notes today. The foolish builder isn't lacking intelligence. And would you hear me on this? Oftentimes we think, okay, I got a note up here. Yes, that's true. But the difference in this story, Jesus is saying, is the obedience of what, to apply what we've learned. And so as you think about, you know, one heard it, one applied it. One was amiable and respectful. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, that's really nice. You ever have that? You know, parents with their kids. Oh, yeah, mom and dad. Uh-huh, yeah. Some of you seniors like, oh, yeah, mom and dad. Uh-huh, yeah, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. But yeah, uh-huh, yeah. I know that never happens, but, you know, just in case that it does. One was smiling, amiable, and respectfully. The other one went to the shed, got a shovel, and started digging. Right, he got busy digging down to the bedrock. And to illustrate this, it's interesting in just the context of the scene. Remember, this is in Israel, the Sea of Galilee, but in Israel, the land is really beautiful, and there's different rainy seasons and dry seasons. So I have these things called wadis, and this is Wadi Rum, which is a popular place to visit. If you're a tourist, you might go check it out. It's a beautiful spot. And if you could see the picture close, you might see some four-wheeler tracks and some hiking trails and some other things on this beautiful land. And I can only imagine that perhaps a place like this is what Jesus has in mind. You know, it looks like a really easy place to build a home. The dirt's relatively flat. It's beautiful. It's a fun place to be. It's great. But the locals, notice what don't you see in this picture? Houses. You don't see any homes being built there. Why? Because there are certain times of the year. There are certain times of the year that Wadi Rum turns into a floodplain. And the locals know that. And so as we consider building our house, I want us to give that visual of what Jesus may have had in mind, right? We know that the storm is coming, the rainy season's coming. So we're building our house on bedrock or on the desert sand. And I was thinking about, you know, the wise builder knows that, right? So he has the he gets a little bit deeper down to the foundation. He builds his home and his life on this bedrock. And because it's for Sunday today, kids, I'm going to need your help with this next one. Maybe he just needed a little song in his life. All right, come on. Hey, kids, come on. For Sunday, let's go. All right, come on, Hudson. All let's go.
The wise man built his house upon the rock.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, the motions. The teacher's in the house.
The rains came tumbling down.
Come on, Phil, let's go.
The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up.
Oh, yeah, for Sunday.
And the floods came up.
But the house on the rock stood firm. But what happened?
The foolish man built his house upon the
sand.
The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand.
And the
rains
came. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, he's in trouble.
The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat.
Nice, you've got the splat in there. That's good. Thank you for that. Yes. Hey, it's for Sunday. We got to have fun with it, right? There you go, kids. You will not forget the sermon now, right? It's locked in. All right, good, good. All right, so the question that I have, and kids, maybe you can help with this, right? We don't actually get the answer in Scripture, but why does the foolish builder disregard the wisdom? Was it laziness? Was it impatience? Overconfidence? We don't really know. Maybe he just needed to hear a really snazzy song like this one. Maybe that would have stuck in his head, you know? Yeah, I mean, the truth is the house would go up quicker. It's less effort, less cost until the storm comes. But for a minute, for just a little while, it looks like the foolish builder's winning, right? But that's what Jesus is saying here. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, right? Not if. And I'm reminded of right before he goes to the cross in John 16, he prepares his disciples. He says, here on earth you will, not might, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. See, your foundation will be tested, not might be tested. But take heart because in Christ, it will not collapse. Graduates, you're building a foundation that will be tested. But Jesus promises here, only in him that foundation will not collapse. Which leads me to another truism here for this morning. That knowledge becomes wisdom only when it begins to shape our actions. Okay? Now, I want us to dig a little bit deeper. The word fool or foolish here is the Greek word morose. Now, what English word does that Greek word morose sound like? Moron. That's right. You guessed it. Moron, morose, right? It's the fool, okay? Now, I want us to dig a little deeper because it isn't just talking about intellectual, right? The moral and spiritual discernment that comes with this idea. Really, in Scripture, this idea of being a moron or moronic, hey, Jesus' word's not mine, all right? The fool in Scripture is one who lives as if God's reality doesn't matter. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so you graduates, you college students, you guys are on the front lines of some real moronic thinking, okay? moronic thinking about truth being relative. There absolutely are absolute truths that we got to stand on. Absolute moronic thinking around the character of God. And they miss the heart of God, right? The trustworthiness of Scripture. Moronic ideas about basically that surround your identity, and you'll be whoever it is that you feel like you want to be. You're going to be bombarded by those things. What about purpose in life? That's all about pleasing ourselves and doing whatever feels good, as opposed to leaning on the foundation of Jesus. These are the kinds of moronic things that the world will tell us, right? Many of these things undermine and erode that foundation that Jesus says, hey, let's build your life on the rock. And so that's why we got to be diligent to ask, how do these worldly things that we're learning and teaching, maybe even embracing, shape our actions toward Jesus or away from Jesus? Are the things we're buying into leading us toward Jesus or away from Jesus? And I'll just tell you one moronic story of my own, because there's plenty. Don't worry. Wealth of material there. But this one, for me, I was actually in our first ministry in Missouri, and Becky and I were in the throes. There's a lot of details, so I'll kind of summarize it for you. But basically, Becky and I were in the throes of deciding whether we were going to foster two little girls or not. And we'd prayed about it, and we couldn't get a real clear, discerning answer on it. So we're like, okay, God, you know, what do you really want us to do? And then we were reminded of how, you know, after Judas died and Matthew was chosen by casting lots, we thought, hey, if it worked for Matthew, it'll work for us, okay? And so all we needed was a yes or no, so we flipped a coin to see what we should do. Okay, I don't know if our boys have heard this story or not, but anyway, so this is again moronic example, not a good example. So here we are, Becky and I were praying about this and on our knees, really trying to discern. We're like, man, we just not sure. Becky was pregnant and I was in master's classes, and so we had a lot going on. And so he's okay, let's do it. So heads yes, tails no. We flip the coin and it shows up tails. Whoo, dodge that bullet, right? Well, after a terrible night's sleep, and the next day I'm staring at verses in my office like James chapter 1, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Whew! Doesn't take too many verses like that to really challenge and convict. And obviously, we changed our mind, and through the course of 3 years, having 11 kids come through our home, our lives were incredibly changed forever. Right? And many of you know, as we've adopted our older three, and as we've gone that journey, God has revealed so many incredible blessings in our life all through that experience. And I think about, these are the kinds of moronic things that Christians do, well-meaning Christians, right? Instead of leaning on God's word, we come up with these, you know, silly rituals or signs or whatever. It's like, oh yes, I got to go do this, instead of leaning in on his word. And I realize that, you know, look, foster care is not for everybody, right? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we need to stop dismissing what God's word is speaking to us with and the spirit of God that he's leading us toward. And that he would say, yes, no, he is calling me to something here. He is calling me to a divine purpose. And instead of talking ourselves out of it, we say, okay, God, what deeper water do you have for me? And as I mentioned, if we had just relied on a coin flip, I just see so many layers, not just in my own life of how Becky and I have been changed and transformed, but the lessons of God's grace and mercy that we've experienced in our own lives through our far extended family, the lessons of opportunities of impacting people that we had otherwise would have never really rubbed shoulders with. I think about the encouragement that we've received in times of trial and struggle that we never would have received. And now, being on the back half of a lot of that, we can encourage other people. God was equipping us and refining us. And now, even today, as we launch 2 in graduation, the joy of being able to look back over those years and seeing what God's hand was doing in and through that. That's an incredible journey. And I cannot imagine life if we had followed a coin flip over leaning into God's word. And that's really, I think, in so many ways what I'm speaking on today. What significant life choices are we making where we rely on chance or popular opinion or you know, the whatever feels easiest, as opposed to getting the shovel, digging deep into the bedrock, and making a decision out of God's word and saying, yes, I will walk in obedience. I will walk in your will, because even though it may be harder, and yeah, there may be storms, I'd rather be in God's will than living an easier life out of God's will. And that's why I think, you know, Jesus says here, though the rains come in torrents, the floods waters rise, one of the lessons I think that Beck and I have learned, and again, it's true to this story. And hear this. Okay, rock reveals itself in the rain. It's a beautiful day in Willamette County. Not a whole lot of flooding happening locally, at least, right? And so, you know, we don't really notice our foundations. It's just a beautiful sunny day, and the houses are all great. But as we went on our mission trip with Ides, and we saw foundations that were revealed, some houses were still standing, some were not. But interestingly enough, in this storyline, we see the more the foundation is showing, and if the foundation is Jesus, the more of Jesus that is revealed. See, I think in these moments when we're facing marriage difficulties, or we encounter setbacks, or we have health deterioration, or we have financial strain, or we have faith that's questioned and challenged, right? These are the deeper waters that begin to hit at our foundation. They hit at the core. And even though the dirt may be moved around it, it reveals our foundation. The house still stands. And Jesus is revealed because he becomes and is our foundation. And what's so interesting in the Greek on this, again, I'll just point out to this passage here. When it's talking about the bedrock, this idea of building your house on the rock or that bedrock, the only thing I want you to take away from this is the Greek is that it's written in a perfect tense. And all that means is two things. One is, it's a completed action. Good job. You got the concrete out, you poured your foundation, and you shored it up, and it's done. Okay, the job of the pouring of the foundation is there, and it's solid. But the second part of being in that perfect tense is, it's not just that it's a completed job, but it has continuing results. It means that storm, not just one storm, but storm after storm, rain after rain, wind after wind, that foundation that you established once has continuing results of holding firm. That's what it means to build on the bedrock of Jesus. In Jesus, you don't have to go back and rebuild your foundation every single time like you do in the sand, right? Every time if you're in the sand, every time a storm comes and the rains come, the winds blow, you're out there rebuilding things. But no, not in Jesus. It means you've given him the rightful authority over every aspect of your life. That's what Jesus is saying. The wise man builds his house on the rock, but the foolish one builds his house in the sand. And I think that's the authority piece is what the crowd recognized. Again, going to verse 28, they were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority. The Greek word here, exousia, and again, you don't really need to know the word more than the idea that is being communicated with this. It isn't just, because I say so, therefore. That's actually just half of it, right? The word authority here talks about having the right to command, like a king commanding his kingdom. Okay, he has the right to command because he's King Jesus. But the second part of this means that he has also not just the right to command, but the power to command. He has the capacity to enforce his authority, to make things happen, to create change. So it's about effectiveness and strength. And the people that are listening to Jesus that day recognize his real authority over these things. And you look through the Gospels and we see Jesus had authority over nature. He calmed the storms with his words. Over sickness, he healed without any medicine or magic. Even the evil spirits, they recognized him and feared his authority. Over sin, okay? He forgave sin, which is something only God can do. Over scripture, okay? If you remember, I'm pulling on your memory banks a little bit here, but if you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you might remember that there are phrases like, you have heard it said. Okay, Jesus reminds his people, you've heard it said this, but I say, and turns everything on its head, because his real authority allows him to be able to do that. And I'll just say, this is one of the most important distinctions between the world and Jesus, between other religions of the world and Jesus. See, many religions will give you some good philosophy, some good ideas, but they come from not the teacher themselves. Jesus says, I say, because I have the authority. Which is what I want us to remember, is that the world offers many voices of influence, but Jesus offers a voice of authority. And this is the testimony of Peter, as he says in 2 Peter, for we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of the Lord Jesus. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. See, his audience that day in the Sea of Galilee recognized that there was a trustworthiness and a truth to what Jesus was saying. And friends, that is real authority. So what, Darren? Good sermon. All right, hurry up. We got a graduation to get to. Okay, I get it. All right, we're going to land the plane. And this is where the rocks come in. You might go ahead and grab, but if you picked one out or sat on it, you can get it now. Take a rock, and I'm going to invite you up. We're gonna do a foundation inspection. Okay, here's the not just our ending. Note for the series, but really this whole Sermon on the Mount, this idea, something I want us to tangibly take with us today. And that is the foundation inspection. Maybe there's an area of your life that you can admit that maybe you've been building on the sand. Maybe there's some areas that you've been building on the rock, but maybe there's some areas where it's like, you know, I haven't really been digging deep. And so we're going to ask a few questions, and I'm going to ask that maybe God would inspire you with a word to write on this rock. And so there's tables here, over here, in the back, by the doors, one right up here. That at the end of the service today, I'm going to invite you to come up and write a word on the rock. And then allow that to be a declaration that you're going to stop building on the sand and build on the rock, on the bedrock of Jesus. So here's three inspection questions for us today. Okay, the first one is this. Which way am I moving? Which way am I moving? After engaging with influences in my life, so maybe here's some words, right? Relationships, media, habits, decisions. What direction am I moving? Toward Christ or away from Christ? What are some things that maybe you're building on the sand that you need to be building on the bedrock? And let's look at your calendars. Maybe reflect, what time are you spending moving toward Jesus or moving toward the world? Maybe review your bank accounts, right, where you spend money. Is it building your own kingdom or the kingdom of God? As you scroll through your social media, are you consuming content that strengthens your foundation or erodes at the foundation? You might remember in chapter 6 of Matthew, as we were listening to the Sermon on the Mount, where treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so there's a direction. Your treasure reveals what direction you move, your time, your money, your attention, your affections. Where are you moving? Second question to inspect our foundations. What will survive the storm? Okay, again, Jesus said it's going to come. So when it comes, okay, which parts of my life are built on, built to withstand an inevitable storm, and which parts will wash away? Let me give some examples. If our health suddenly fails, would our identity collapse? Many of us have good health now, then maybe that would be where we actually find most of our identity. What about financial security? If your financial security is stripped away, would your faith remain intact? What about reputation? Reputations are so important. And so would you still know who you are in Christ even if your reputation was tarnished? If relationships were ended, would your purpose remain clear? Okay, what parts are built on the sand? What parts are built on the bedrock? So what parts are going to survive? Third question. This is the authority question. Whose voice truly guides me? Again, exousia, the right and the power that Jesus has here. So when different voices compete for authority, and you know they are, listening to the radio, listening to news, to social media, whatever, there's lots of voices that we have to listen to. When they compete, which one wins? Is culture winning or is Jesus winning? Is the media winning or are peers or maybe that inner voice, feels right to me? We can convince ourselves a lot of that coin flips are good ideas, you know? Okay? When Scripture says one thing and culture says another, which voice wins? When your desires pull against God's command, which one has the final say? When difficult decisions arise, do you consult God's wisdom first or last? Let me just encourage you with this, that moving from this foundation inspection to application is one of the most courageous things you might have to do. Because there are things in all of our lives, there are things in mine, things in yours, that we got to examine. And it takes courage to respond to those things. And whether they're habits that, maybe they're really comfortable habits, but they do compromise our witness. Maybe there are things that are like not you know, just so obviously bad, but we're not really focused on building the kingdom of God. Right? There's these things, you know, we're building sandcastles instead of the kingdom of God. And we just got to develop that. We got to own that. And so I want to invite you here in just a moment. We're gonna have a closing song and then have a moment to write down the words. Let me give you a few more. Maybe there's some hate in your life that you need to lay on the bedrock of Jesus. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to be dealt with. Maybe some apathy. Maybe there's some things in your heart that have just not really been dealt with for a while. Maybe you recognize you're chasing stuff and not chasing the kingdom of God. Maybe there are some secret sins that you got to really nail down right now. Maybe there's some marriage stuff going on. Maybe the future, right? You graduates and college students here, your future. Lay your future on the bedrock of Jesus. Some relationships. I don't know what you maybe brought with you this morning, but I just want to give you an opportunity as we close out the series, as we close out the Sermon on the Mount, to really build those things on a foundation. And I would even challenge you graduates in here today, as you walk across the stage, maybe put a rock in your pocket. So as you walk across the stage, as you move the tassel, to allow this to be a reminder for you that where your foundation lies. Maybe you put it in your office space. Maybe you put it somewhere in your home where you can visually see that as a reminder of that commitment. But remember that the wise builder didn't just admire the concept of a rock foundation. He did the hard work of digging deep until he found it. And so I leave you this series this morning with this question. Will you? Will you do that? Will you dig deep and join the journey to see what God wants to do in and through your life as we build our decisions on the bedrock of Jesus? Let's do that together. Father in heaven, Lord God, I want to thank you for being the bedrock. And God, there are often times and storms and struggles of things that are just so intense and overwhelming. And we're so concerned that we're going to get swept away by the storm. And yet, that is when we trust the foundation we're on you. And God, I'll just say that I know that many have come trusting you fully and committed to that. But Lord, if you would just lead us into an authentic evaluation of maybe there are just some areas that we need to really reexamine. And do some maintenance there. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that has not built their life upon you, God, you do a great job of building foundations. And Lord, we begin to surrender these things to you. God, thank you for Jesus, for the grace and mercy that we get to experience, and that we know that we've made mistakes, and we know that we have perhaps even regrets in our past, but Lord, you are there for us. Not saying, you started on the sand, so you got to stay there. No, you call us to yourself. Because of that real authority that you have, you call us to yourself and you say, let me do some heavy lifting. So Lord, I pray if anyone needs to still build their foundation yet on you, Lord, would they take the opportunity here and now to come before you, surrender those things, lay those things there, and dig deep on you. Thank you for what you've done in my own family. Thank you for what you've done in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in this county and bringing glory and honor and healing and hope. We thank you so much. We pray that in Jesus' name.